as soon as I get done with this, because Jill will take the kids to go do.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. If you all can make your way and have a seat. Yesterday was our first children's quiz meet of the year. Come on, Kate. Is Gabby here? All right, yesterday, Gabby and Kate, MJ, Jacqueline, and Madison went to their first quiz for this year, and we are quizzing over Genesis. And so you guys want to line up here like you were sitting yesterday. Kate, Jacqueline, Madison. Yes, the gentleman is always last. Go down there. Okay. Yesterday was the first day of the last year that Kate will do quizzing with us, and then she'll move on to the NYI. But we have four more quizzes this year, but yesterday she started off great. She started off knowing all of her memory work. Then she got one perfect round, a gold ribbon. Then she won the 7-Up Challenge, and she did all of her extra memory work. So they got a piece of candy and a pen that we had from World Quiz. Do you want to do a memory work verse?
Genesis 4:7b. But if you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.
This is Jacqueline's fourth year to quiz. And she started off really well. She did all of her memory work and got a candy bar and a pen. Then she got a silver award. She missed just one too many to get gold. And she got her 7-Up. So, do you want to do a memory verse?
Noah was a righteous man. Blameless among the people of his time, and he walked favorably with God. Genesis 6:9b.
Then Madison is new at quizzing, and she did wonderful. She started out with a perfect round, and she got a gold ribbon.
Do you want to do any of the memory verses?
Okay. We couldn't talk her into doing the memory work. She says, oh, I can't do it, but she knows them. I know she does. Then Gabby, this is your fourth year quizzing. And she started off with her memory work and got all five of them and a candy bar that she didn't share with me. And she got a gold ribbon. Then MJ brought up the tail end.
Why is the man always last?
He knew all of his memory verses. He ate his candy bar and didn't share. Sat right there beside me and ate it. And then he got a gold ribbon. So the kids did great yesterday.
I want to do memory verse. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
All right. Pat? Did I miss Pat?
Nope, he's here.
Okay.
How many of you know what October is?
Halloween.
It is Halloween. Trick-or-treating. Anything else? It is Pastor Appreciation Month. I hope you appreciate your pastors all year long. But we do set aside in our church as October being Pastor Appreciation Month. If you have not, I'm going to remind you, sometime between now and the rest of the month, send a card, give a phone call, email. You know, everything's electronic now, so I guess send emails, do whatever you want to let our pastors know how much you appreciate them. Pastor Gary is gone this morning. However, Pastor Donna's here. Pastor Jill is here. So if you two guys would come, we have a gift to show a little bit of our appreciation from the church of what you mean to us. And again, we want you to know how much we do appreciate you all year long. But we do have something a little special this morning to show a little material appreciation for, to show you how much we care this morning. So, men are last, Pastor Don, I guess, as we found out this morning. So, Pastor Jill.
You dance over me. Good morning. It is great to see all of you this morning. How many of you are truly amazed this morning at God and His beauty? Hopefully you guys are, and hopefully you guys had a great week this past week. You'll notice that our teen section is a little light this morning. Most of our teens this morning are at their fall retreat in Rogersville this morning, so they'll be wrapping it up and coming home this afternoon. So hopefully they've had a good week. Hopefully the workers still have some of their sanity left. But hopefully that was a good little retreat and a getaway for them this morning. If you would, turn with me to your bulletins. There are just a few announcements that I'm actually going to touch on. The first one being that there is a vision committee meeting prior to service this afternoon at 5 p.m. And then also following service, if you're a part of the SDMI committee, we'll be meeting directly following service for just a few minutes. If you're a part of the church board, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here at the church will be our monthly board meeting. And then this Thursday for you seniors is potluck with the pastor here at the church at noon. And then at the tail end of the month, last Sunday of the month, as you know, we have our dogs luncheon and our celebration potluck luncheon. Directly following that luncheon, if you guys helped out and were a part of Vacation Bible School or helped out with Carnival, they're going to have directly following that an evaluation meeting. So if you were a part of either one of those events, if you can hang tight after lunch, they'd kind of like to get some feedback from those of you that were involved. And then October the 31st is, of course, Halloween. The church will be doing Trunk or Treat. That will be here at the church from 6 to 8 o'clock. We're asking that if you're going to take part in that with a vehicle, that you try to be here at the church and set up by 5:30. That way at 6 o'clock we can go ahead and be ready for any of the trick-or-treaters that come by. If you don't want to actually come out with your car, you can still participate by bringing candy here to the church. That way we make certain that we have enough candy to pass out. You can drop that off at the office anytime before the 31st. And then lastly, I know Christmas is still a little bit away, but the church is going to be putting together a Christmas parade float. So if anyone is interested in working on or putting together a float for the Christmas parade, this year's theme, is Christmas Story. So if anyone is interested in doing that, you can see Troy Brooks, part of the Vision Committee, on doing that. That is all the announcements I have. Just be looking to your bulletin I almost forgot. I even wrote it in bold right here. Mary Willard is going to come up. She's got an announcement for the Ladies Fellowship.
First of all, he also forgot we are having an NMI meeting at 5 today. And if you have anything for the Christmas boxes, we are collecting those by next Sunday, so please bring it.
Sorry.
Ben's a slacker. Okay, if you are a lady, raise your hand. A lady. Okay, as long as you all know who I'm talking to. The Giggles got together last weekend and planned our spring retreat, and it is going to be a blast this year. We're doing something a little different, and it's going to be great. We are very, very excited, and we would really invite all of you to come. The reason I'm up here today is we need to know how many people are going to come to make sure we have enough rooms. So we need the first deposit. The total cost is $75. We need the initial deposit by 2 weeks from today, the 27th, $35 for 2 weeks from today so that we know who's coming. But we're doing something a little different this year. We are offering a Saturday-only option to come and spend the day with us on Saturday. If you don't want to stay the night, you can come and just do Saturday. And that's $40, and that includes your meals for Saturday also. And so we'd really like to have more people come. It's going to be so much fun. It has to do with chocolate. I know lots of people like chocolate, so we just want to invite everybody to join us. And so it's due 2 weeks from today. Thanks. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. It's January the 24th, 25th. It's the last weekend in January. It starts Friday night and goes through Sunday morning. We have a Sunday morning service there. Okay.
All right. Well, that concludes now all of the announcements that I have. Just be looking to your bulletin for future dates and times for everything. At this time, I'm going to ask that you all stand. We're going to head into our greeting time. Find someone you haven't had a chance to say good morning to yet this morning.
My life has been transformed since seeing the Jesus film.
Transformed may be an understatement. Dennis attended a revolutionary high school in Quito, Ecuador. A born leader, Dennis incited many riots during high school, feeling that a revolutionary lifestyle would change political issues and make life better. He developed a reputation as a leader and was even voted class president. After viewing the Jesus film, Dennis's life began to change.
Instead of going out and throwing rocks, I began to become involved in the Jesus film ministry. Going out and helping with the projection and seeing lives transformed, I found out that that was a true revolutionary lifestyle. Today, I go out and share my testimony during the Jesus film showings. I share with people that even though the economic and political situation of our country is in turmoil, there is peace and hope through the change that comes to one's heart. It is important for us to speak to the lost about their need of the Lord. The best way I've seen to reach people is through the Jesus Film Ministry. The statistics are not wrong. It is a very powerful evangelistic tool.
Muy poderosa. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Jesus Film Ministry, but it is becoming a worldwide thing to reach people for Jesus Christ. This year, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, along with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, has asked the Jesus Film people and the Church of the Nazarene to work together in distributing the shoebox gifts around the world. So we are challenged to do some really special things this year. And if we can get it all together, we're going to take the Jesus Film with us to Ecuador this year on the district work and witness trip. So you be praying about those things and help me pray about them, because this is really an important mission, as this man just shared with you. It takes $4,000 to put together the Jesus Film pack. It weighs about 40 pounds, can be carried on one person's back. It does not need electricity now. It's solar powered, so they can show the Jesus Film any place in the world that the sun shines. So quite an opening for taking Jesus around the world. Thank you. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Good to have Dan in from the road with us. I'm going to ask him to pray over our offering at this time. we begin our prayer time today, we want to call your attention to the needs, several that we're aware of. There may be some that we aren't aware of. I know that Berta's here this morning. Don't see her right now. She may have had to leave. She's there. Okay, great. Hey, there she is. She's standing behind the guy in the red shirt. And then I saw Alan was here this morning, and it's good to have him in our services. Good to have Dan with us. Several of you that have not been here for a while. Mark's back with us today. We believe God's working. I believe God's working in hearts and lives. I believe God's changing things. And then for those, several have struggled physically. I noticed the Burks weren't here with us today, and I know she's had some real problems with her back, and see Helen's back there, and it looks like she's standing a little straighter this morning. We're glad she's here. And all of you that have struggled physically, and there may be needs that I'm not aware of, if there are, please feel free to share those at this time. Are there needs you'd like to share? David Wilson has been placed in Quail Creek for some rehab therapy, and so need to remember him in prayer. Any others that would like to mention a special prayer request? If not, let's stand together, and we're going to open the altar at this time. If you'd like to pray here about something special, if God has laid someone on your heart or your mind that you'd like to pray for, certainly feel free to come here and pray. And then a personal campaign of mine, or not mine, but of the Lord's. The Lord has laid on my heart the last few weeks praying for the lost. And we really need to pray for the lost that surround us, surround our church, surround our community. And then I'm sure that everyone, if you've watched any news at all, is aware of the condition, and I hate to say the bad condition of our government, but the condition that our country and our government is in today. And we need to lift our country just in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some, as we sing another verse here, if you'd like to come and pray at the altar, please feel free to come at this time. Our gracious God, what a privilege it is to be able to slip into the throne room this morning. To seek your face. To know that you hear and that you answer prayer. Father, all across this group today, we're sure that there are requests for prayer, that hearts are aching to have answered. Lord, for those that have been physically ill and are struggling even today, we lift them up to you. We pray for your touch upon their hearts and their lives. Seems that so many are struggling physically today, and all of us struggle, seems like, more as we get older. And Father, we just need your touch today. Humble us before you. Then, Lord, we pray for our church, all of the people, all of those that are gathered here today, and our young people that are not with us, and our pastor that is on vacation this week, and we lift them to you. Father, we lift our country to you today. We sure don't have the answers. And it seems like that no one has the answers. And Lord, we look to you, the Almighty, today to hear, to answer prayer, and to change things. And Father, as we pray today, there we are surrounded by those people that have spiritual needs. There are those that are broken, those that are hurting, those that Satan is oppressing, those that Satan is seeking to possess, and those with broken hearts that have struggled and seem to have been knocked down over and over again. We lift them to you today in prayer, Lord, and we pray for spiritual needs. We pray for people to be born again, saved, their lives turned around, and made new creations in Christ Jesus. Lord, come to this service today. May your Holy Spirit speak to hearts and lives. May we be touched, not by words, not by thoughts, but by the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God today in this service. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the beautiful music that we've had this morning. Now bless this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kindness in remembering us, Pastor Appreciation Month. And the group that seems to try to get together to play golf whenever we have Pastor Appreciation Month, and I want to thank them, all of them. I didn't get to attend this year. I tease them and tell them the only time they invite me to play golf is when they want to have a good laugh. And I don't think in the times that I've gone golfing with them, I've ever disappointed them one time. So be assured that I carry my end of the bargain whenever we do that. I keep thinking I'm going to hit that golf ball hard enough to get it to where it should go. All of the golf balls that I try to hit across water seem to have magnetic attraction to water. And so I hit it as hard as I can, and it goes out there, and it looks like it's going to make the other side, and then just before it gets there, or sooner, it does this, hooks over, goes ka-splash. And then behind me, I hear these snickers. He did it again. How can he hit the water so often? If water were considered a hole in one, I would really have a great golf score. But they don't count water as a hole in one, I don't think. At least Gerald doesn't whenever he's playing golf with me. So, or Gary, or Bob, or Pat. We have a great time, and I appreciate the thoughtfulness of our church in taking care of us and blessing us. And you know, the greatest encouragement I think that I have is seeing your smiling faces
on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings when we can be together. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading with verse 14. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever. Amen. Father, bless the reading of Your Word today in Christ's name. Amen. What are the ordinary person's possibilities in light of what God has done in our world? You ever ask yourself that? Several times I've considered my possibilities. And if I just look at my human ability, I'm really disappointed. Because it seems that I am limited as a human being to carry out God's plan for my life. But thanks be to God, through the Church of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the possibilities for you and even the possibilities for me are increased immeasurably because of what God has done. Not because of anything that I have done to deserve it. And so Paul is saying, for this reason I kneel before the Father God. He realized that this petition was important and an invaluable thing for the Church of Jesus Christ. He believed these experiences were imperative to carrying out God's plan in this world. Every time I get loud, I seem to kind of lose my voice. And I stood up here and I said, oh, what happened to my glass of water? Well, it's been several months since I prayed, so I'm sure the glass of water's gone. And I reached my hand over to my pocket and I said, well, I've got cough drop. No, I don't have cough drops there. So you just pray for me and love me as I am up here, and God will help all of us to get through this. Paul prayed that the church would be strengthened in spiritual power. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but I'm going to raise mine, want more spiritual power with God? I stand in need of God's power working in my life today. And so Paul's prayer, he prayed for strength and spiritual power. Power. Where does spiritual power come from? God Himself. Through whom does He impart spiritual power? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and lives to make us what we should be in our inner being. Now, again, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to see any hands. But how many of you believe that what you are on the outside comes from what you are on the inside? Maybe we should show hands. How many of you believe that what you are on the outside comes from inside? Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate that. I'll leave that up here for next month. Or even cold, boy. How great is that? You're so thoughtful. What you are on the inside shows on the outside. And I don't care who you are or where you are or what you may be thinking, it comes through. Now, some people say, well, you can sit on things and hold them in, and you can to some degree. But the only real answer to spiritual living coming from the inner person inside you is to have and live a Holy Spirit filled life, living in God's power, allowing God to have control of your heart and your life. So the supreme need of every Christian today is to be filled with God Himself, to have His power. Isaiah wrote a long time ago, in the 40th chapter and the 29th verse of Isaiah, and down through the 31st verse, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Now, when I read that scripture over and I heard them practicing this morning, I realized that tonight we're going to sing a song that backs that up, I think. The wings of eagles, is that right? Did I misinterpret that? So either she was sensing what God was leading her to, and we're going to reinforce that thought tonight, or I'm out of place. And so you can make that decision yourself about what you think. But the supreme need of every Christian today is to have God's power working in and through them and leading them along the pathway of life. He said, I kneel before God today and pray so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There is not, nor can there be, spiritual power without Christ and without the Holy Spirit working and leading us along the pathway of life. For as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and life, it shows on the outside, it is part of our inner character that Christ is in our lives. I used to work with a guy that talked about God all the time. Sometimes his talk was not in reference to God as a holy being. He used some words that showed an irreverence for God. We live in a world, and if you watch any TV or around any of the radio programs or hear any radio programs, you know that God's name is used many times in vain anymore. And it seems to just be something they do. But I want you to know that in spite of the way that man used God's name, and in spite of the way that the world uses God's name, that God is still God. And denying him and using his name in vain does not take away from God's power one little bit. He is still God. He's still in control. And though the world may not recognize him in our lives, people should be able to see Jesus Christ living. The face we put forth toward the world should come from a heart and a character that's developed in the Holy Spirit of God. For what you are on the outside has its roots in your character, in the rich and fruitful soil of God's love working in our hearts and lives. Your possibilities, what you show to the world, should contain Christ love. If it doesn't, you need to go back and find you a place of prayer. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying that we need a place of prayer when God fails to show through in our outer lives. In our contact with God, it should be revealed that Jesus is alive and that he is working in our hearts and in our lives. In Colossians, the second chapter, beginning with the sixth verse, reads this way: "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." We show thankfulness to the world in which we live. I'm not talking about being thankful for what the world is doing. I'm talking about being thankful for what God is doing and showing the world through our attitudes and the way we live that Jesus is real. Paul prayed that they would grasp or comprehend the width, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love. How many of us think we really comprehend the total amount of God's love, the height, the depth, the breadth? I don't think we begin to. I know that I feel so weak as I try to comprehend his love. But he talks about a love that surpasses knowledge. A love that's greater than any knowledge we can have. And the discovery of the immeasurable magnitude of God's love in Jesus Christ. How many of you know what our national debt's going to hit this next week? Someplace around there. I can't even say trillion, let alone count that far. $16 or $17 trillion scares me to death to contemplate that. And yet that can be measured. But he says, discovering the immeasurable magnitude of God's love. God's love cannot be measured, at least with man's abilities. And so we stand in need of discovering, or at least attempting to discover and grasp, the immeasurable magnitude of God's love in Christ Jesus. What makes you care for your fellow man? Is it because he's nice to you every day? Well, sometimes we meet people that aren't so nice. But those people need Christ's love too. Your husband, your wife, your family needs Christ's love. They not only need to hear Christ's love preached and taught in the church, but they need to experience it in your life and in the way that you treat them and show them this immeasurable love. The human mind cannot possibly reach around or fathom his love. The motivation of love that caused God to send his only begotten Son into a world that was lost. How much does God care for your soul and for my soul? It caused him to separate from his only begotten Son and send him into the world that the world might know and believe and understand that Jesus is Lord and loves and cares for us. You believe Jesus loves you today? I sure hope you do. If you don't believe that, then you may be struggling uphill. In Romans, the 8th chapter, I can get all my little markers separated here. Beginning with the 38th verse, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise God. That ought to bless you good. If you're not being blessed, then read it again. Nothing in creation can separate us from his love. You say the devil is pretty strong, Pastor. I know that. I meet him every day. He's out there. He's doing business right now. He would like to have you feel defeated, like God doesn't love you like you are. But we have the assurance in the Word of God that he does love you and nothing can separate you from the love of God. And don't anybody get excited and say amen. Well, two or three of you got excited. You're getting excited on the inside, I can tell. But nothing can separate us from his great love. In John, the 1st chapter, in verse 16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Christ brought that love to us from heaven to make sure that we not only came in contact with it, but we were exposed to what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Over in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 10, he talks about the fullness that is given to each one of us. "And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Christ gives us his fullness that we might find strength. In Philippians, and I don't have the scripture marked right now, but it says, ye are complete in Christ Jesus. That's from the old King James Version. I switch back and forth. My mind is still King James and my Bible is NIV. And sometimes that leads to confusion. I don't want to confuse you. The King James says, ye are complete in Christ Jesus. That mean you need anything? I don't think it does. I think Christ says it all. We are complete in him. And so now to him who is able to do those immeasurable things. Don't get too excited about this. Immeasurable things. God can do more than we can ask or imagine. How many of us have asked for more than what we thought we had coming? How many of us can imagine more than what we have coming? That's the promise from God. That's not my promise. I couldn't keep that. But God can keep that. A great and gracious God. Paul believed in this God. He knew and believed. And we seem to forget so easily what God has done and can do in our hearts and lives. Listen to Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Now, I went to a service one time and they said, if you'd like to have a new Cadillac and you'd like to start on building $1 million inheritance for your children, you bring your money down to the altar and you lay it here and you start your investment fund right here. Well, after I heard that message preached, I didn't go back to that church. Because there's nothing in the Bible that says if you put X number of dollars here, you're going to have $1 million come to you tomorrow. But I am telling you that the Bible says in God, you will have everything you need to fulfill the possibilities that God has created in your life. If you're looking to be a millionaire, good luck. If you're looking to carry out what God wants you to do with your life, trust and believe in Him. What's the truth that rules our prayer lives? Do you see the possibilities that God has for your life? And do you pray for those possibilities to be fulfilled? What's God's pledge? I'm going to give you what you need. It's yours for the asking. Nothing good is withheld from those who love Him and ask Him. You want something good to happen tomorrow? I had quite the experience last year at Joplin, the fellow that was doing some work with us, I read to him where it says, give to God. And it says, you will receive back good measure, pressed down, shaking together, overflowing. And I may have already told you this story, but I said to him, hey, you're given to God. what's coming back. I said, you better get ready, because right down below that scripture, and I hadn't read it before, it says, I will pour out in your lap a blessing you cannot contain. And when I read that scripture over again, I thought about my grandmother. Now you say, what's that have to do with your grandmother? I can remember my grandmother going out to the fruit trees, the peaches, and she'd pull that old apron up and gather both ends in her hand, and she'd fill that apron up until it wouldn't hold anything else. And then she'd bring those apples or peaches or pears or whatever, and she made the best fried pies I ever put in my mouth. Now, God's not going to make you fried pies. He'll give you the peaches if you want to put the effort in. But what I am telling you, that He will pour you out a blessing on your heart and your life to help you fulfill His call on you, to carry out His plan. You see, the world works by its own rules. But God works in immeasurable assets to give us what we need. The first century church was a struggling church. The devil went against that church with every power that he could raise. You know what happened? Yeah, you do. The devil was pushed back on his haunches, shoved out of the way as the church grew and built. You think about 3,000 people being added to the church in one day. Boy, that'd be a revival, wouldn't it? You think about what God did. God is not limited by the resources of mankind. He's not limited by the resources of this world. He's not limited even by the resources in our universe, because He can create whatever He needs to give you. His glorious riches, immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. God is dealing with His praying servants, His children. He cares. And He will bring to fruition His promises. Sometimes we struggle as a church, but I think we lose sight of the fact that the church is the bride of the Lamb of God. And the very gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You know, there's a lot of things taking place in our world. There's a lot of things that sadden us. But when you get really sad, get in the old book. Start reading about God's promises to His people and what He's going to do. Jesus has received all of the power of the Godhead. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. All authority, not half, not a third, not three quarters. All authority is given Him. And so we as a church today, along with the Apostle Paul, need to heed this prayer. I kneel before God to ask Him for everything he has planned for his church. Folks, if we don't see revival, if we don't experience revival in our own hearts and lives, it's because we have failed. Not God has failed, but we have failed to ask God for revival. If we do not see souls won to the Lord, it's because we have failed to ask God for souls to be born into his great kingdom. What promises am I going to make you? Not going to make you any. I'm going to refer you to the Word of God because it contains all the promises, all the power, all the authority, everything we need to be successful and carry out God's plan. Does God have a plan for Nixa Church of the Nazarene? I believe he does. Does he have a plan for your life? Let's make this an individual thing. Does he have a plan for your life? And the answer is, oh yes. He's promised it in his word. Right here, this old book. God has the power and the authority to do what's needed to carry out all of the possibilities that you have in your heart and in your life. Are you challenged by what God is saying and by what Paul prayed for? And do you accept God's word for your life and your possibilities today? Let's stand together. God bless you. You've been very attentive today. We're going to meet back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Well, some of us are going to meet at 5 or 5:30. But you come expecting God to reach and bless and show you the way to carry out the possibilities he's given you for your life. Mark Faulkner, would you dismiss us with prayer? Okay. Father, we ask your blessing today on the Word of God. We ask for your possibilities to be carried out. That you, Lord, would show us, give us direction, and give us your power to make us what we should be in Jesus Christ.